Welcome to the Messy Middle podcast that follows one mom's journey to build a profitable business while navigating the challenges of life. I'm your hostess, Anita Anello, and I'm here to share wisdom, insights, and stories that will empower you to make confident decisions, take actionable steps, and break through the mental barriers that hold you back. Hey, everybody, it's Anita here, and thank you for coming back to our podcast, The Messy Middle, One Mom's Journey to Build a Profitable Business. Today, I have Julie Reisler, who's here with me, and she is, let me make sure I get her information, she is keen on telling us on how to be our youest you and manifesting every day with powerful intention. So welcome, Julie. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. So as we got started, Julie, we were talking about just kind of doing our intro and discussing what we were going to discuss today. And we tipped off the tip of the iceberg of a conversation about being able to not only tap into your highest potential, but then also being able to really listen to God in that. And one of the things that we had talked about is I feel like there's all these great frameworks out there and they're amazing. Don't get me wrong. I love plans. I love structure. I love frameworks. I'm all about that and steps that you can do. But actually, one of the things that I'm leaning into recently in my journey as an entrepreneur and where God has me is being able to understand that while those frameworks that are out there are awesome, sometimes those frameworks don't work necessarily for me, not because there's anything wrong with a framework, but sometimes what I'm finding right now is God saying, hey, Anita, hold on. I have this step for you to take. And so let's just kick off the conversation right there. Like, Julie, where do you land on that topic? And how can you encourage our audience today in talking about that?
I love this topic. I think it is so relevant, Anita. I think it is so important we dive into it. The foundation, I think that the deeper question, and I can't help it with, I'll put my coaching hat on for a moment. I've been doing this for a long time, and it's that listening at that deeper level. And the deeper question is, if we are all unique divine expressions of God, and understanding we're all here, right, with different gifts and talents and a purpose to make an impact, how do we go ahead and express that and to do so in a way that's authentic and that honors each of our own energy and wisdom and experience and how we're really what we're here to do? And then knowing there's also these beautiful plans and guides and frameworks out there. And I'll say that when I started my business, it was about 10 years ago, a little over 10 years ago at this time, and I can talk more about it. It began from that inner voice. I kept hearing the divine. I heard God say, Julie, it's time to do this. Leave your job, start a business. It was not an opportune time in my mind. Yeah. There were lots of different kinds of, I realized, roadmaps and plans and courses. Mm-hmm. Something I would love to talk more about, and I think that you're bringing up is, you know, how do you maneuver and move through the world, especially if you have a business, if you're an entrepreneur, if you have a purpose, but to not get caught up in a plan or a framework that may not actually be right for you or all of it be right for you? So how do you stay in your lane? How do you stay in that space? That's been a question I have been really moving through, navigating for the last decade or so. And I'm so glad we're going to talk about it. I think it's important.
Yeah, that's so interesting that you say that. I was just on my mastermind a couple weeks ago, and we meet up on a regular basis face to face. And one of the things that I found, it was a very unique visit in the mastermind, and that I had the opportunity to go up a little bit early and have a whole day to myself, which doesn't really happen very often in my life with I'm a business owner, a homeschooling mom and wife and all that kind of stuff. Like, I have a lot of things going on and love my people. But then when I get an opportunity to leave the house and have a little bit of space and time to just think and process what God's been like spinning around in my mind, that is actually one of the best gifts ever for me. So I had this opportunity to have this whole day, landed early, had the whole day, went and drove and had some to a little bit of time on the road, which helped, and then sat quietly and had lunch. And in that moment, I felt like I was getting a download from the Holy Spirit. Okay, these are my next steps. And I just kept journaling, kicked off a great conversation with the waitress. She had a chance to pray for me, which I'm normally the one praying for everybody. It was awesome. But here's what happened. I felt so confident going into that event of these are my next steps in my business. Yes, God, this is exactly what you're calling me to do. Walked in that confidence for a couple of days. And by the end of the week, I was really struggling because I felt like I got additional information, which wasn't bad, don't get me wrong, but it, in a way, it derailed me a little bit. It distracted me a little bit. And it took me some time to get back to God saying, hey, remember that conversation that we had? So let's talk about that a little bit more from your perspective, because it sounds like you've gone through some similar things. And don't we know we go through these similar iterations over and over again? So let's talk about that, kind of leaning into what God has for us in the midst of hearing other great information, but maybe not great for us, and then just taking the next one step forward.
Absolutely. Yeah, I could hear even what you were saying. I really related and saw myself, and I'm sure anyone listening is going to be like, yep, been there. And yeah. I think the thing you said that really stuck out for me, Anita, was, and I'm finding this for myself too, is finding time for quiet, finding time to mm-hmm. go within, to really dull out the external noise. There's a lot of noise, whether I'm a mom as well, if you're a parent, you're caretaking, I'm not homeschooling, but my gosh, that's adding in there yeah. a spouse, a partner, a daughter, like taking care of my mom sometimes. There's a lot. And then beloved friends and community and then having business peers and friends, and then the world. And then yeah. we're not even talking yet about social media and all the other things. I have found that bombardment, that getting can be very overwhelming with information. Mm-hmm. I actually was just reading this. It's just coming up to me now. That difference between being informed and inspired. Informed, and I got this from Wayne Dyer, who I think talked about this, informed. Information is being informed, more knowledge. Inspiration is in spirit. Having that in your breath, in that moment, having that connection to spirit, to God, to that divine wisdom. And the only way I know how to do that, it's what you said, is getting quiet and giving ourselves time. And it's a little counterculture, counterintuitive, mm-hmm. because you got to actually put that on your list. You got to put it, for those of us, even though I don't want to, I live by my calendar and my to-do list. And I have learned that's got to be number one, because it's hard to hear or to sense or to feel what God has in store for me, and I would imagine for you and for anyone, if I am not showing up and listening, if I am responding or in fear or in reactivity or in worry or in, wait a minute, I'm comparing now, and now I'm in the lane of I'm not good. And all of that is going to take me out of that lane of being in communion, communication, connection. It's very hard to hear what's next. It's hard to be comforted and to be guided. It's like a tantrum of a three-year-old. If you're a three-year-old, I don't want to go to bed, and they can't hear anything. It's no matter what you say. My kids are much older now, but I remember being like, there is nothing I can do right now. Just let him like cry it out. And I think it can be similar. We, as that receiving of God's voice and instruction, it's hard to connect with that if I'm not in a space of receptivity. So making sure you're in that space, I think that you said that, and I was like, that it starts there. That for me, I've seen has made a huge difference in even being able to locate what is the right answer for me.
Mm. Don't you notice too, sometimes it's not that you're not going to go through the process of I heard from God, now I'm going to go and do, I get a little bit off track, and then I get back on track. Sometimes what I notice is the question in my mind is, okay, how long am I going to let that cycle happen? Because the cycle is going to happen. Let's just be clear. Like, the cycle will happen in life today. But the question is, is my downtime, my overwhelm time, my confusion time, is that going, or however you want to frame that for yourself, I heard, but I'm not at the spot I'm doing yet, is how long do you want that window to happen? Is it going to be days? Is it going to be weeks? Is it going to be months? Is it going to be years? Because when we get into the years stretch, or I would dare say like months or quarters or weeks stretch, then we can really have that divine inspiration. It's almost like the, you know, when you fall down as a kid and you get the wind knocked out of her, it's okay, now what do I do? And until you start breathing again, until you're able to take that next step again, you're just laying on the ground, like you're not doing anything. Yeah. And yeah, can we break that down a little bit farther? How would we how would you counsel somebody to say, I heard I'm not really ready to do yet because I'm stuck, but how do I shorten down the window of time that it takes to like, okay, yeah. I got it. Let me take a breath again and move forward.
There's a couple things you already said that I think have the answers in it, and I'll share my experience and what I've seen. And this is partially as a coach, as a spiritual guide, as somebody who's worked with hundreds and hundreds of women and leaders and in this exactly what we're talking about. And frankly, in my own life, you actually alluded to something I thought was so beautiful, Anita. And it reminds me of the importance of not trying to do our life alone, both in bringing in God and in our, I think of it as our soul brothers and sisters, everybody. Mm-hmm. So your experience where you were talking to the waitress and she prayed for you, to me, I was listening and, oh, that's beautiful. That mm-hmm. is God using both of you to yeah. serve and help each other. So she got to give, you got to receive. You're used to giving. I really get that. There's an importance of receiving. So understanding one, I don't believe life is meant to be done alone. And I right. think that's where we turn to each other, whether it's a peer, a friend, a soul sister, a coach, a therapist, a minister, whoever you're working with, or it could be somebody who gives you a smile in line. And it's just, oh yeah, okay, thank you. Reminding me, I'm not alone here. So that number one piece is we can get, it's very easy to get caught up in the, oh my God, no one understands. And I don't know what to do with this. And now I feel lost again, or I'm not sure, like confusion. And I really think that's where we can help be helping each other. And this is where setting that intention in the beginning of the day, like I am choosing to be a blessing to everyone and to myself and to be a channel for those blessings. We can show up that way. I think being open, like you were open to receiving, prayer can happen anywhere with anybody yeah. at any time. Oh, yeah. There's no, so that's a big component to it. I think like you also mentioned, Anita, we need to expect that it's not always going to be like, I get the download. I've had times, yes, where I get it and I'm in action and it was just effortless and easy. Yeah. Most of those times, no. And the way to know that is just look at Mother Nature. Look at, we all know with spring, look at the chrysalis experience. I cannot imagine yeah. the caterpillar having a good time becoming primordial soup to become the butterfly. The cracking, I just posted today, the cracking open of a seed to become what we see as the flower, the bloom. It has to like literally crack itself open. It's mm. not necessarily, ooh, it just like jumps, springs up. No, there's a process. I love what you said. Expect that. And it's nothing you're doing wrong. It's not a mm-hmm. mistake. Sometimes for me, it's been like, oh my gosh, what is happening? It can be fear. I do the term, I don't know if you've ever heard of this. I did not make it up. To me, when we move into that egoic place, which I've heard as edging God out, ego being fear, being mm-hmm. confusion. We all have that aspect, that primal, younger, like protective side. To me, when I'm there, that fear, to me, that's like to bring in God more. So those are some thoughts. I don't know if that may be a good place to just jump off from.
That's great. I love what you're saying, and I love being able to connect on these topics. And what you'll notice as we're talking through it is that each person has a slightly different version of how they go from, I've got a great idea, to I'm stuck and I can't take action steps forward. And then I get to a spot where, it clicks and I'm ready to go. I'm ready to run after that. Think about it. Even when you're sick, you feel that it's coming on, and then boom, you're down and you'd love to go and do some things, but it's just not working. And then once you start feeling better, it is a process, just like what you're talking about, is a process of getting better, healing. Now, sometimes that can happen to us spiritually. It can happen to us mentally. It can happen to us physically. There's lots of different ways that we can go through the process of getting an idea and moving it into action, even if it looks like there is some downtime for us. So the other thing that I heard that you were talking about, Julie, what I really want to dive into a little bit deeper is the comparison piece of that. Because don't we know that, I don't know if it's necessarily that women do it more or men do it more. I think men and women compare ourselves against other people on different topics. But I believe that we all compare ourselves to one another. Oh, that person's a better speaker, or they're more confident, or they appear to be blah, 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 whatever it is, fill in the blanks. Just as we're talking about even getting ideas and then moving to action in that process, whatever that looks like it takes for each of us, don't we know that we can also can compare ourselves like, oh my gosh, look at Julie, she's doing so much better than I am, or vice versa or whatever. And it's almost like, no, if I'm really, as a believer, if I'm really listening to God and the plans that he has for me, and I trust him in that process, then it seems like there'd actually be no comparison whatsoever when I look at any one of my friends or family members or anything like that, because God knows me intimately. He knows me personally. He knows where I'm at. He knows my experience. He knows what I'm going to do. And let's talk about that a little bit. Let's break down, like, when comparison comes up, how do you overcome that so that you can walk in really like the lane, that beautiful lane that God's created for each of us.
But I was swimming this morning. I love how we're like really in sync. And I was literally thinking about that as I was in my lane, swimming with other people doing other strokes. Sometimes I'm next to somebody who used to be what seems like an Olympic swimmer, and I'm slow and steady. I've got like a turtle on my desk to remind me. That is my reminder, slow and steady. I think the first thing to just say is, and you really pointed to this, that as human beings, it is very understandable why we do this, just to come from that place first of compassion for ourselves. I always think compassion is a great playground to start from, because we are living in a world, we have eyes to see, we have ears to hear, we have, you know, our five senses, we can see. I can see, okay, Anita has a beautiful long blonde hair with a beautiful sign behind her and just has this amazing family and she's homeschooling. As I'm listening, I'm like, what do we do as human beings? I was a psych major. I didn't want to become a therapist, which is why I pivoted. In psychology, we look at that, like that labeling and that just getting a sense of somebody, right? So we make stories. Okay, that's amazing. She sounds, my gosh, like I wish I had done home. If I could hear myself like, oh yeah, I didn't homeschool. Maybe I should have. That was really smart. Wow. How is she juggling? That's incredible. This woman is amazing. As I'm listening, when we were connecting earlier, we do that as human beings. We put labels, we make stories, we make meaning. We got to know we do that. And that is okay. What I think the elevated grace step would be, graceful step, full of grace. The next thing, which I think is a little bit of reparenting and teaching ourselves, is when the thinking starts to go to, oh, I don't this, or I should, or any of those comparisons, those not enoughs, when we start hearing the shoulds or the not, or all of those, you know, you feel it. You feel when it feels not good, not when it feels lousy. When we start doing that, would be a good time to pause, take a breath, fill up with inspiration in spirit, and say, okay, wait a minute, that is fantastic. And just in may, I like to say, may you be blessed. May I be blessed. Like, may everyone I see be blessed. And come back to your home, come back to your home center. Okay. So what may be the question, the better question is, what about what you're doing inspires me? That's coming back to inspiration and spirit versus the inform, the knowledge, the just knowing things. That's not what we want. We want, personally, I think, how do I come back to who am I here to be? Who did God create me to be? And how do I listen to that and hold both, hold the, that is incredible. And I want to know what I'm here to do. What inspires me? What's that showing me? What maybe should I, is it ready? Am I ready to stop or release? And often it is the negativity that we put on ourselves, frankly.
Wow. My mind is like spinning right now. So, I love it. It's so good. No, but really being able to, I had a coach and a mentor, a gentleman by the name of Dan Miller, who wrote 48 Days to Work You Love, just an incredible guy. He actually just passed away just about 2 months ago. But one of the things I love about him and that I always hold dear to myself, he was one of the most authentic cheerleaders of other people that I've ever met in my life. Like, I've never met a person, man or woman, that was more excited to show up on a call or show up on a meeting and champion you for what you have done and be genuinely so, that is awesome. So that actually has caused me to think, when I come to the table and I'm hearing other people's stories and I'm looking at what's going on and I'm thinking about them and going to those thoughts in my mind of, oh my gosh, seems like she's doing better over there. Do you know, as homeschoolers, I have literally talked to hundreds, maybe thousands of moms over 15 years of doing this, and how many moms I've heard say, oh, you homeschool? Oh my gosh, Anita, I always thought I wanted to do that. And like dread and regret in their voice. And so, no, just be where you're at. Like, it's okay. This is just where we're called, and we're going to be obedient to where we are. But you have other things that God's called you to be obedient to. And there's no weird comparison here. No one school. Every schooling option, I believe wholeheartedly, can be amazing and awful and social a lot. People, when you're homeschooling, they ask you about socialization all the time. They ask your kids about it. It's really weird. But you can have socialized people in public school, private school, homeschooling environments, and unsocialized in everything. It's not really an academic thing, my belief is. I believe it's like a family core value. But the point in saying all that is, as I hear all those things, what I'm doing is I actually am starting to picture Dan in my mind and this beautiful smile that he had, so bright, so cheery all the time. And like, I'm inspired to do that more, to be able to champion and cheerlead other people more. Now, I know for part of my story is I think it's a little bit hilarious to me that God called me to serve women, because I did not grow up in a household. I grew up out in a household full of women, all sisters, but not super encouraging to one another. And then in the corporate space, can I just say that when you are in the corporate space in corporate America as a woman, it's challenging to find others that are going to champion and cheerlead you and not feel like everything's a competition. And so I love what we're talking about here, because if you think about it, if we're able to break down and lean more into what God has for each of us, then we can naturally actually put aside the competition and the thoughts in our brains that say, I don't know, I'm not good enough, therefore I can't do the thing, and all the kind of the reasons / excuses that we come up with not to walk in what God's called us to and in our purpose.
Yeah, I love what you are saying. And I actually had this thought or reminder that in my understanding of God is, we're not compared. God doesn't compare me to you or anybody else. If I really want to be as much in that beautiful, loving, big-hearted, blessed image, then it's for me to do a good hard look at myself. I think what you were talking about earlier, I know it just for me in the corporate world, I saw it more in terms of being paid differently as a female. Mm-hmm. I had some great women that I worked with, and it was a discrepancy. That was a different discrepancy. And I used to feel like, what am I doing wrong that I'm not being paid the same as people doing similar? And it is what it is. It was a great experience. I learned a lot. I think the real, like I'm seeing the tagline, it's we want to go from being like that comparing and competing to championing. And that's what I'm hearing you said, Dan, really did. And we can feel that. We can feel when somebody is really behind us, and I can feel it as you're talking about him. And I'm like that. Yeah. So we get to, everyone listening, you and I, we get to change this narrative, especially for women. Every time you champion another woman, even if you don't know her, and they're successful, or they're doing something really beautiful or special, or you admire, or it's their, whatever it is, it doesn't have to be an accomplishment. It could be their fifth book. It could be their fifth child. It could be their whatever's happening. I think to pause, go into your heart, and just to champion that person, that starts to change the old patterns. And we get to all do that. It's not always easy, and it doesn't always feel great when you are in, what is that line, to compare is to despair. You've heard that.
Yeah, that's good.
And I really take that to heart, Anita. I've definitely found that as a trap. I think comparison is a trap that takes me out of my own God-given lane, my own connection to who I am and what I'm here for. And for all of us, it's going to take as many of us as possible to really come back to, okay, let me bless that person, send a blessing, champion them. And then let me do the inner work and say, okay, if I am feeling envious or not good enough or any of those feelings or comparing, then let me look under the rock and say, what is that showing me? What am I saying to about myself? Where am I? Maybe is there something in that person that's that maybe I'm not going to homeschool my 17 and 16 year old at this point, but maybe there's something I say, you know what? There's something about what you said. Maybe I'll find my version of what that would be at this point. Maybe it's really pointing to an area that I could take on with my kids. So it doesn't have to be the same. I don't think often it is the same. It's just, are we listening? Are we paying attention? It goes back to what we said in the beginning. Am I getting quiet enough to see? And I don't always do this because I can get really wrapped up in the comparison and then start to go down the hole of, I am not doing well. I should be doing better. What did I miss? It just, I think the more we talk about it and have helpers and people that can champion us and that we can look at this, the more, the quicker time it is. I find that it's quicker recovery time. Yeah. I can get back in my lane.
Yeah. I would dare say I'd even go out on a limb and say, if I'm stuck in worry, fear, comparison, those negative feelings, I see my friend and she's doing amazing. I look at Julie and I'm like, wow, she has so much more than I do. And I get stuck in anything that's negative. It could be me and there could be some inner work stuff. I could also just be making a choice to actually partner with the devil in that moment. And instead of seeing you and the gold that's in you and the beauty that God's created in you and the uniqueness that's you, I could actually knowingly or unknowingly start agreeing with my enemy, the enemy of all of our souls, whether you understand that he's there or not, and be able to say, oh, you know what? And then start think those thoughts that we've been talking about and then realizing, wait a minute, there's nowhere in scripture that models that for us. Jesus never models that for us. He looked at every single person and said, you're uniquely and amazingly made. And then therefore, I'm going to speak to you exactly and hear what you need to. I'm going to speak to you in a way that you need to hear it and champion you. But then I'm also going to call you forward in exactly the lane that I know that you're capable of walking in. And so that element of it as well, that's that as you're talking, I'm also thinking of it. But it, that's been like a dual line of thought that I've had recently as I've had just gone through the ups and downs of life of, oh, wait a minute. If I'm stuck in worry or fear, or we're throwing here today comparison, am I actually lining up with who God says I actually am, or am I agreeing with the devil? And frankly, I don't want to do the other. So I got to get my mind straight, right? While Paul talks about capturing those thoughts and making them obedient to Christ. And in that, I got to line up with what God's word says, who I am and whose I am, and then therefore go and walk in those things. And then that's where I see the beauty. I'm actually able to take off that junk that sometimes we wear, that's inner junk that's from me. I can actually take that off and walk in the freedom that God has for me. And so that's a little bit extra about what we're talking about. But that's those are some of the things that I think about sometimes in the middle of the night, sometimes during the day. It depends on what's going on.
Yeah. Actually, you said one thing earlier. It made me think of, I just made this up. I don't know. I've never heard it, but you said looking for the gold in somebody else. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, isn't it interesting? Gold is God, except you have the letter L in there. And I'm like, L to me would be love. So you're actually seeking that loving God force in somebody else. That is a beautiful way to say that. And yeah. I think of what glasses am I wearing? Am I looking, what am I looking for? And if I'm looking, I'm wearing gold glasses with gold lenses and I'm looking for the gold in everybody.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to see. And that's what we're going to experience ourselves.
That's so good right there. Yeah. Okay. Let's shift a little bit and talk about overcoming some adversity. So we talked a lot about getting some downloads. We've given some practical advice about how to do that specifically for each of us who are listening today. But let's talk about how do we overcome some adversities. So Julie, I know that you're just a person. You've been here on the earth for more than a couple of minutes. So let's talk about being able to overcome some of those adversities in the context of what we've been discussing. So listening for the divine leading and overcoming those things, because don't we know we can look at everybody and somebody can look at me and be like, oh my gosh, she looks like this. They might not know my story. They might not know that there's been in the past couple of years alone, there's been like out of the blue medical crisis and job loss and marriage upset and just all these different things that have happened in our lives, in our household. And so there can be this kind of, oh, I had no idea. So then how do you show up even in the midst of the hard things? Because Life is hard. It is challenging. There are trials every single day. But how do we help our perspective shift, and how do we overcome those so that we can continue to move forward?
Yeah, no, I've definitely had my fair share of challenges, adversity. One of the miracles, and I love that word miracle. There's a lot of ways to define miracle. One of the definitions is a change in perspective. Like I think of it as letting God come into my lens and perspective versus me and mine, or however you want to categorize that. And for me, I struggled for years. For example, it might not sound like a big deal, but with food and sugar addiction, I really struggled with emotions, like feeling, I feel really deeply. I'm highly empathic. And so I have a father who is a Vietnam veteran. And this is years ago when there was really not the understanding around PTSD and that kind of experience. Yeah. And I just could feel his sadness and despair. He was very loving to me, but I could feel that and could feel my mom's anxiety around it. And it wasn't talked about. And I think my way of coping was to use food. I think it felt grounding. And frankly, enough sugar will give you an endorphin hit. I have many other examples. That was something I never really thought. I didn't know, how am I going to deal with this? Like I literally could not stop eating, whether it was M&Ms or cookies and it felt really unstable and unsteady and out of control. And then I would have stomach aches and other issues that came with that, let alone I didn't like how I felt and my stomach hurt. And I'm somebody who did get into, if you've heard of 12-step programs, that was very helpful. There's many other ways of the basis of a 12-step program really is coming. It's a spiritual solution. It's a God solution.
Yep.
And that is the whole basis. I mean, it's an example. We have a framework, but the whole basis is it's not a problem you can solve yourself. It is, is a problem that goes to God, and that those around you are those that are helpers. And it helped me to stop doing things alone and to start seeing, I don't need to feel shame about that. I don't need to make myself wrong. This can change. There can be healing and miracles. I think that the fact that today I mainly eat a sane, normal person to me is a God miracle. It really is that I'm healthy. There's health things I'm working on, yet I know that I have that partnership with God, with the divine. I know that. I think that's been an example of something that I moved through for many years. There's many others. Starting a business, leaving a job, it made no sense. I didn't have a trust fund waiting for me. I just heard that inner dialogue, that voice, that God voice that was like, Julie, this is for you to do. And I've learned to I trust it. I really do. And I just had an experience recently of really hearing it's time to let this program go. It's a program I love. We created, I would say. I didn't create it by myself. It doesn't make sense logically, Anita. It has done well. It's helped many beautiful people around the globe. It's done well even financially. Like there's no, it doesn't, but I'm like, okay, if you're telling me, and I think I don't have to see the whole staircase. I think it was Martin Luther King that said that you walk one step at a time. It's what we started with, and the staircase will appear as you go. It takes a lot of faith and courage, what you're signed behind you. Yeah. And I do believe we do this. We don't do it alone. We don't do it alone. We have our sister brothers with us, and we have God and the divine with me at all times, with you, with all of us. So I really apply that. Building the staircase as I go. It takes something. It is counterculture. I have just found that's the way to be fully in harmony. Otherwise it can be what I think or what my, but I don't want it to ever be too much of the I. I want it to be a we. I just posted something about this. I think of God as my employer. It's the best way to say it.
Yeah.
God's.
Years ago when I'd started my business about 5 years ago, I was like, God, I really want a partner. I'd had a partner in a software business before, a couple of partners. I really liked that situation. I like being able to collaborate and bounce things off one another. And God's, you do have a partner. It's me. Yeah. And for a while, I was like, no, God, I want a real partner. He just kept saying, you do, it's me.
Yeah, way better.
Yeah, yes, no kidding. Not the drama and all the stuff that happens in the ups and downs of people. And yet with people all at the same time, like that's really the cool thing, but God at the center of that. So yep. Julie, do you find as you walk with God in these steps and the staircase gets revealed, maybe not necessarily, I don't know how it is for you. It's the staircase doesn't always get revealed in front of me, but I can definitely see it when I look back. So I might get next steps and get the vision, but I don't know, I can't see necessarily the how right at the point of the vision. This is just, God can speak to us in lots of different ways. It can be through visions. It can be through the audible voice. It could be through others, through his word, through worship, through a gut check. Like we practice listening prayer in our household. So we know there's lots of ways that God can speak to us. As a matter of fact, God speaks to actually all of his creation. So that's what the word says. He speaks, the largest population that's getting visions of Jesus right now is actually the Muslim population of all people, which is really pretty fascinating to me. But anyway, so back to this. Yeah. So as we walk in partnership with God, where are you at, like on being able to have peace as you walk through the things in your business and peace as you walk through these challenges and the up and the down of life? Let's talk about that, because worry and fear, man, they are being not, what's the word I want to look at? They're actively being cultivated in our population today. Worry, fear, overwhelm. It's like we're being targeted as a culture. And as Americans specifically, although I'm sure it's going on around the world, that there's division and derision and fear and worry and divide and conquer and separate and isolate and all that kind of stuff. Let's talk about the peace component of it and being able to be settled and say, and confident, okay, God, I heard from you and I just see this next step. What does that look like for you?
So actually, you mentioned something, there's a practice, I don't do it all the time, but I've done it where I've helped a lot of clients to do this, and I suggest this. It's where you do a little bit of like turning around and you just take note. I call it like evidence tracking. You just look and see, what the heck? Look at this. Wait a minute. When I listened, and I've done this, I actually created a tree. It looks like a beautiful, just blooming tree. And I'm like, that root of doing this thing, I'm even getting chills talking about it. And then I listened and went here and oh my gosh, look what blossomed here. I've been doing that. And it's, you cannot deny there. It just cannot deny there is a greater, amazing plan that my brain has no clue how to do that. So I do that and I look at it and I try to like, I have a list that I always have in my phone. I have a poster in front of me with that I have to add to it, like this beautiful tree that keeps growing. So to have that evidence and just say, you know what? I've been here before, it looked different, but let's just turn around for a minute. There is like an amazing staircase. Actually, I forgot the staircase has like crystal on it. It has beautiful like brocade. I'm making that up. It's pretty, it's beautiful. It's actually led to some places I didn't even know I wanted to go to. Like that staircase is amazing. It's just right now I'm not seeing it. I think it builds our muscle in faith and trust, which I keep this little stone. It says trust. I just keep it here. I have lots of little reminders. I'm like, okay, trust, like trust. So that can be something. I will say one of the things that I've studied a lot around the power of literally the energy in our heart. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of very simple, put your hands on your heart, connect in, feel your heart is beating. This is like incredibly powerful. There is life force. Your heart has been pumping blood since you were before you were born. And I really feel there is something about just tuning in. It's that holy spot. All of us is holy, but there's that sacred. So I do a lot when I go to bed and I wake up, I always have my hand on my heart. Sometimes I'll hold my husband's hand. I really like that. But if not, because not every night is that's going to work. I like to hold my heart. I like to have my hand there. It feels peaceful. It feels calming. I do breathing in there. And it's just, it helps me to come back to myself. Anyone can do that at any time. And it's like, it's free. You don't have to pay for it, which I'm a big fan of. Like we have that. So both hands, you can even feel it. Like,
yes.
Oh my gosh. All of our beautiful body temple is beautiful and powerful, but the heart to me is that's where I go when I want peace. And then I think prayer, breathing, meditation, whatever that looks like for you. Sometimes it's, who said it this way? Forehead to the floor. Mm. And just, I don't know. There's a phrase of your will, not mine be done. Just let me do your will today. Let me get out of my way. Let me stay in the heart, in my heart, in your heart. And those kinds of things work for me. They're very like, I can just do them at any place in the car. Now, I can't put my forehead on the floor in the car. Don't ever do that unless you're like looking for something in your park. It doesn't matter where. To me, it's just, am I tuning in and am I giving the opportunity to give space? And I'm going through this recently, and there have been some days I've just had to call a friend and say, I'm really scared, or tell my husband, I need you to hug me, or I feel like crying. I don't know what's going on. I know I'm being guided. It's a little. And so then we find people and readings and prayers and ways to tap back in. And I think that becomes a gift in itself. People get to be helpers.
Yeah. That's so powerful. I like that. And maybe we can end on that note of just being able to find helpers along the journey. So one of the things that you said earlier and that we were talking about is, and if you notice all the way through, yes, we're listening to the divine, but we're also connecting with the people that are all around us. And so we don't have to do this life alone. We don't have to feel like, I don't know, I'm so isolated. That's such a tactic of the devil to be able to isolate us and tell us those lies that we're all alone. And so we don't have to do that at all. Instead, we can connect with people. And we've never been more connected as a world today than we are. Sometimes that's good. Sometimes maybe not as amazing, but being able to just connect and reach out and recognize that there are people all around you that can help you. I always get this vision that when I was kind of early in my walk with Jesus and struggling through some stuff, there were just some incredible older ladies that would come alongside me. And I would always ask them the same question. And these would be gals that would maybe be like two seasons ahead of me. And I'd say, what's the one thing that you're going to tell me that towards the end of my life, this is going to be the most important thing that I should focus on? And they would give me all sorts of great things that had nothing to do with careers and making money and all the stuff that seemed like super important. The world was telling me important right then and there. And what I always get this picture of is they would reach one hand back and just help me take one step forward. And I love that. I love that God gave me incredible women that are outside of my family and origin to be able to do that and love me through that process. And that we actually get to do the same. And just as a way of encouragement for somebody that needs that today, connect with people around you to be able to hear what your next step is and then go and do that and then be held accountable along the way. That's one of the best things. Julie, you're a coach. I'm a coach. We know that there's something pretty amazing when you invest in yourself and invest in a relationship with a coach and somebody else to not only walk you through the steps and show you the roadmap, but also to be held accountable along the way. So as we end up today, Julie, how can people connect with you to just go a little bit deeper?
Yeah, no, I love it. And I was just reminded of like when you are looking for helpers, ask and it's given. Mm-hmm. So ask for helpers and you'll have helpers. Always. I love this conversation. The best way to find me, my website is probably the easiest, which is just julieriesler.com, which we can leave later. Yeah, and
we'll make show notes.
Yeah, on there is a really beautiful 7-day. It's a guide, a tool set, but it is the kind of thing, it helps you to meditate. It helps you to look at your calendar with love, with ease, with grace. So you're designing your life the way that you feel is most in accordance with your purpose, your potential, your gifts, your skills. And then all the information is on my website with if you want to work with me or learn more or just to connect. I also do a lot on YouTube as well. People can find me there. Yeah.
That's so beautiful. Thank you, Julie. So take advantage of her offer. That sounds pretty amazing to be able to look at our calendar and love. I think we all need a dose of that. That's good. That's really good.
I need the reminder too. Don't you worry.
Awesome. So thank you, Julie. So appreciate having you on the show today. And any last words, any like one last word of encouragement that you want to give our audience today?
Yeah. Oh gosh, my brain is like, oh my God, which one? I just think this idea of being cheering people on, of championing others, do that for others, but don't forget to do that for yourself. It's easy to do that for other people. Do it both ways. Do it for yourself in a loving way and do it for others. And you will be in a whole new realm when you do that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here today. We appreciate you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us today on the Messy Middle Podcast. We hope this episode has inspired, encouraged, and equipped you to navigate the challenges of building a profitable business while balancing the demands of your work life, your faith, and motherhood. We would love to hear from you. Connect with us on LinkedIn, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, or at our website, therippleeffect.net, to share your thoughts, questions, or topics you'd like us to cover in future episodes. You can also find us at anitaanello.com. Until then, be well and know that we are cheering you on.